Alrighty, what up, guys? Before we get into Season 3, Episode 4, our interview with V Wills, gotta tell you about our presenting sponsor, which is no other than our own damn merch line, online shop at mantomanpodcast.shop. Use code MIXFREE at the checkout to get free shipping. New logo, new season, new direction. Go get yourself some damn merch. Support the podcast. That's how you can support the podcast. That's the only way you can support the podcast. Get yourself some damn merch. Appreciate you guys for rocking with us. And I hope you enjoy this interview with V Wills. 22 million streams on Spotify Wrapped in 2022. Colorado native, now Nashvillian. I think you guys will really appreciate this. It's a mix of, he's got a mix of country vibe with pop, with rock, and R&B, super cool dude. So without further ado, please welcome V Wills.
Baby, let's see how fast this all black Silverado goes, and how many miles is it gonna take to get away from you? You're breaking on the cowboy's heart. You got me drinking at a downtown bar. I'm overthinking getting too damn drunk, and that's what I get for falling too in love. Remember that back road, baby. Remember them stars in the sky. Remember that tailgate we were sitting on when you looked me in the eye. I remember those.
Alrighty, it's the Man to Man Boys, Season 3, Episode 4. We got a recurring guest on the podcast today. 22 million streams on Spotify Wrapped in 2022, and over 200,000 listens on Spotify alone in its first week after dropping his hottest single, Black Silverado. Says here he would take my girl if I even came close to having one. Be Wills, what up, dude?
What's Welcome up, baby? Back. How we doing? I'm doing good, bro.
How are you, man? You're dude, back in. I guess the last time we had you on was around this time last year. I would say around like Valentine's Day, wasn't it? It was about like 11 months ago.
About 11 months.
Yeah, right. Like that. Wasn't yeah. it? What? Yeah, it was like a year.
It was.
Yeah. Holy shit, dude. It was.
Valentine's Day.
Okay, I was about to say, because if we were on the dot of like a year anniversary, that would be actually like wild,
it's
bro.
Probably pretty close, though.
I think the last time we had you on, we were asking you what you were doing for Valentine's Day, and you were like, I don't know. Then you were asking us what we were doing. We were like, I don't know, crying ourselves to sleep.
Hey, man, mean, listening to V Wills while doing it. Yeah.
Still doing that, you know?
Yeah.
It's also funny, too, because we're going to go out to Colorado. You're like, come kick it.
Mm-hmm.
Liam's like, I don't know, I'm banned. Or like, I don't know, what do you? I don't know what you had going on, an ex-fling or something. You were like, I'm banned from the airport. Couldn't even go to Colorado.
Well, that's why I'm glad you're here, so we didn't have to make that trip. Yeah. Because me, I don't know. No, I don't know if I'll ever make it out to Colorado.
It's too bad, too, man. It's beautiful out there.
So I wanted to ask you about the Miller Lite story.
All right, man.
Because I told you. And I was like, I got Miller Lite, got the new crib.
My boys Miller Lite
over, and they're like, yeah, fuck Miller Lite. I know you don't like Miller Lite.
I don't hate Miller Lite. It's just not my, like, for you, it's your go-to.
No, it
for
is,
me, it's
yeah.
not. I don't do the Miller
Lite. Well, the boys hating on Miller Lite, bro.
I just like, well, first of all, if you're hating on Miller Lite, man, let's get into it a little bit here.
yeah.
Listen, man, it's popcorn in a can, okay?
Popcorn in a can.
Now, a lot of people, when I tell them that, they're like, I don't taste like that aftertaste popcorn taste. And I probably look like a fucking weirdo for telling you that. But like, I'm serious, man. Take some Miller Lite like you're tasting wine, okay? We'll do it together. Okay, crack one open. Crack one open. Okay, kind of like we're it's like a wine tasting, right? Cheers.
Hold on, bro.
Let me get mine open.
And this isn't the first, it's not like I did this the first time I did it, but like, it's like, so.
Does it actually taste like popcorn?
It's like that first aftertaste. Tell me it doesn't have like a homemade popcorn taste. See?
It does.
It's like right away, like after it's like a homemade popcorn. Brother.
It does taste a little like salty.
It's like, right, it's like, it's almost like. Yeah, it's like, that's actually a really good way to put it. It's like a salty, I don't know. I like it though.
Well, I don't know why the boys were hating, because you were a big Bud Light guy, Liam.
Bud Light's cool. Yeah.
That's my go-to. Like, if I'm at a bar and I'm going out, hey, give me a Bud Light.
Yeah.
Because what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I get like a nice, like, Stella.
Well, we were at the liquor store today and you were like, well, I'm done drinking beer. And I was like, well, bullshit, dude.
You know what's crazy too, is you could get kind of into the IPA thing. I kind of, for a little bit, like, especially being from Colorado, huge out there.
I was going to say.
Which is like.
What will we know? Like a.
No, like, I didn't get it. Like, it's not like I could tell you like all the IPAs. I went to a few bars where it's like, that's all they have is IPAs and like the beer till you get like the flight. And it's like, that's kind of a cool. I see myself doing that later on, like kind of getting into it. But like, for me, it's like. There's not a place that's not going to have Miller Lite. You know what I'm saying? It's a good go-to.
I used to work at a brewery, Brewery on...
Bro, I fucking love Tailgate. Yeah, wow.
And they have a ton of IPAs, like hazy IPAs. A ton of bold IPAs, a bunch of like weed IPAs too. But I was just going to say, there are a ton of breweries here also that you should definitely just go check out. There's like a Southern Grist right down the road.
Really? I went to the Old Smoky, the one that's got the...
Is that Moonshine? Yeah, is that Yeehaw?
Old Ye.
Oh, excuse me. It is. So wait, but isn't it called Old Smoky? Like
which? Distillery.
Distillery.
Yeah.
Distillery. It's called Yeehaw. Yeah, okay, Yeehaw.
It's with the big screen TV.
Yeah, that's Saturday game day there.
You watch... look out. I was going to say, you watch Tennessee beat Alabama at Yeehaw.
Is that where you
did? Yo, I have a crazy story about that game. Dude. Okay, we're in Gatlinburg. It's, you know, like what, 20 minutes from Knoxville or something like that. Maybe a little bit more, but like it's close to Knoxville. And we're at a wedding. It's good friends of ours too. And it's a wedding. And you know, when you're at a wedding, it's that those people's day. You know, it's not your day. You know, even though whatever. Yeah,
it's turned into my day.
Yeah, it's like, so sure enough, the phone was... I'll have to send you guys this picture after this podcast because I have the picture.
We'll put it up.
But so I'm sitting on the kind of the bar top with the suit on. I look like a mafioso, bro. I got like the whisk glass. It's fucking amazing, right? Should be an album artwork. But and it's the Tennessee game. Next thing you know, the photographer who was I think she's might have been a student at UT. She's like joining up. The next thing you know, like these people come joining up. And next thing you know, I have a whole circle around me watching the game on the phone. The groom comes up
after the like ceremony.
Yeah, of course. God, God.
The wedding's over.
I'm a piece of shit at that point. Yeah. So, and like, dude, they hit that field goal and like,
it was so sick.
Oh my gosh, dude, it was so cool. And here's the thing, man. I mean,
you're like a Tennessee fan, though.
I'll tell you why. So here's the thing. I moved here, right? And I'm a huge sports fan. By the way, CU Boulder. Hey, we just got Sanders. I'm super excited.
So sick, by the way.
Yeah. So I'm a diehard CU fan from Colorado, of course. That's like my go-to. I moved out here, and they weren't kidding when they said SEC football is like religion out here. Yeah. They weren't kidding. Like, I thought it was like, okay, whatever. I went to a few bars.
It's
like,
different.
No, it really is bro.
The culture is different.
Bro, it's crazy. And so it's like, okay, I live in Tennessee. Why don't I root for Tennessee? Because I'm at this bar right now. Everyone, you know, all these different fans. Well, I don't relate to this team. I live in Tennessee. I'll root for them. Why not? They just so happen to be really fucking good this year. It was really exciting to watch. I was like, you know what? I'm going to root for Tennessee as my second team. Obviously, CU Boulder, baby, SCO Buffs. Fight CU down the field.
They're going to get the most media press, too.
We got crazy recruits.
1-11 this year. It's okay.
I mean, next year, dude. Hopefully. Can you imagine if college had a draft? 1-11, we'd tank him, baby. We'll take every 5-star.
It's funny because I graduated Tennessee, and I think we had Butch Jones back in 2017. It's Butch Jones, right? Yeah, it was Butch Jones. But we had like Alvin Kamara, Josh Dobbs, but we just never went anywhere with that team.
Oh, wow.
It was just different this year. And especially like being a Tennessee fan, you know, we're from Nashville. We're diehard Titans fans. You know, here we call it typical Tennessee. So you will find out that they will, you know, break your heart a little bit. But dude, let's just get into it. All right. So you're a Colorado native moving to Nashville. Kind of just break it down, dude. And like, what are you seeing as like, you know, you're a year in, right?
Yeah,
what are you seeing in Nashville? What do you like? Maybe what do you don't like? What's the biggest differences that you're noticing? Kind of just break it all down for us, dude.
I mean, dude, honestly, the biggest thing is like being from Colorado, like in the wintertime, it's like pretty much cold all the time. I mean, you'll get an occasional like nice day, but like out here, and maybe to the people who are from Tennessee probably know a little bit better, but thus far being here, it seems like, okay, I'm going to get a 60 degree day here and there.
Bro, today has been the nicest.
No, it's, yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, it's been so nice. Like 2 months.
George's t-shirt. I wore this in here and it's like nighttime right now. So it's like, that's the thing is like, so for me that, I mean, weather affects my mood big time. So like having like the good weather like really helps. And then the vegetation, bro. I've never been anywhere in my life where like shit just grows.
Vegetation, bro.
You like it?
I like how
big vocab word. Yeah, yeah. Big vocab word, right? You know what I mean? Like who thought I had it in me? But man, dude.
So I got
my teachers would be so proud of me right now, like from high school. Like, they'd be like, wow, he knows what vegetation is.
He's a vocab guy, he will write some vocab words before a five.
I like failed English, so like I couldn't spell it for you. Don't make me spell it for you. Yeah.
I wanted to say though, moving from Colorado.
Yeah.
Do you miss snow or is that like not even a thing for you?
I mean, do you snowboard or do you ski at all?
I did a little bit of both growing up. Started with skiing, and then of course, you know, you get into, you know, your grade schools and all the cool kids are snowboarding and you want to be cool. So, you know, and that's not to say skiers aren't freaking super cool, but like at least, you know, the people around me, all the cool kids, they were snowboarding. So I wanted to snowboard. I wasn't very good at snowboarding. Skiing is what I was better at, but
And the music, obviously.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I wanted to be a skier. X Games didn't work out. So, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, but no, dude, I mean, here's the thing. When I went, so I went back for the holidays. We went up to Breckenridge. Okay. When you're in a mountain town and it's snowing, love it. But when you're like where I'm from, Colorado Springs, which is an hour south of Denver, for those of you who don't know, man, why is it snowing? Man, like, I just, like, for me, it's just, you're not like, you're not going to hit a mountain. You're at least like in 2 hours, hour 45, depending on how reckless you are on the drive, to go snowboard or ski. So like for me, I don't know. I don't like the snow if I'm not utilizing it. You know, Christmas Day snow, love it.
I've never been snowboarding or skiing in a day in my life. Liam, I know you just went on a skiing trip and busted your ass.
Well, yeah, I have my bruise just now.
Really? Did you snowboard or did you ski?
I ski. But it's...
Dude, skiing, I feel like it's so much better.
Is it
easier?
Nah, it's pick and choose. I've always been the guy that skis, but at the same time, who cares?
Right.
I was gonna say, you're talking about the vegetation. Like, have you been to Green Hills at all? There's green everywhere.
No, no, bro. Like, have you seen like some of those cribs over there?
Yeah, dude.
I grew up in Green Hills.
Yeah, we grew up in Green Hills. Why? And Liam like lived in Green Hills.
No shit. Damn.
Yeah, went to JT Moore in Green Hills.
I kind of want to ask you just now, moving to Nashville and seeing how it is.
Yeah.
From my point of view, and I know it's from his point of view a little bit too, Nashville's changed so much.
It's always going to be touristy no matter what.
Yeah, now like I feel is, like you visit here and it's like Broadway, 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 right?
Have you done your whole Broadway stint? Like, are you doing the Broadway stint, bro?
And then all the friends come out. Like, listen, we were there last night. I don't want to talk about it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
What's that name?
He told us before he was at Broadway.
It's so funny because my manager, he's like... So it's a whole long story. I don't want to go crazy into it, but basically I call my manager Grandpa and he calls me Joni. And the story of that is because he's always grumpy. So I call him Grandpa, and I sent him, we were talking about branding and like kind of the styles I'm into. I'd sent a picture of like this outfit and he said, yo, like you're not a Jonas brother. Cause the style like really reflected a Jonas brother. And you know, you take,
what were you rocking?
I mean, you take one good look at me. It's like, I've had a few too many meals. I'm not rocking. I'm not rocking Jonas Brothers skin tight shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. The Miller, the popcorn in the can's getting to me. Right. So it's like, so anyway, so he calls me Joni. So funny enough, he's like, you know, he'll be like, hey, Joni, you're not going to Broadway again tonight, are you? For some reason, he thinks I go there all the time. I really don't.
He's kind of like big brother almost, right?
Yeah. Fucking love my manager, bro. Shout out Grandpa.
Shout out Grandpa.
Shout out Grandpa. But, anyway, yeah, man. And so I don't really go there a lot, but it's funny because like I say that and then I end up out there. Here's the thing. It's such a touristy spot. It's great. Love Broadway for like what it has to offer. I think if you haven't been to Broadway and you're coming here for the first time, you have to go.
I mean, where's your spot? Like, where do you go?
Yeah.
Bro, Jonathan's. Jonathan's day.
On Broadway.
Oh, man. Dierks Bentley's.
Yeah, fire.
Sure.
Fire.
Dierks Bentley's for sure. Tootsie's, you got to. I like it. The FGL house is cool.
Yeah, that was our college bar when we came back from college.
Yeah. I like the live music stuff. I'm cooling on the DJ shit. It's cool. Like, I love it. I'm here for it. Hey, if we're going to go up, we're going to like listen to some new like Drake 21 Savage shit. Super fire. Super fun to dance around to. But the cover. Excuse me. Whoa. That was a popcorn burp.
I need some popcorn.
You need some popcorn. But like, the thing is like, yeah, like it's for me, I like seeing the cover bands. Like it's really cool to like see because people are so freaking talented, man.
You been to Tin Roof?
Yes. Like I think like
they
once.
Do all the cover bands.
They do, but everyone on Broadway, I feel like it's for, they'll do covers.
That's the thing I was going to say. You walk into any bar downtown.
Yeah.
Maybe not late night, but you're talking about 10 to 6. You can find a local artist just singing their own stuff, covering stuff. Which is different. I was going to ask you, have you ever thought about maybe
to do the Broadway stuff?
Not,
or
maybe not just Broadway, but just going into.
Or even like, and I don't know if this is more realistic or not, but what about even doing like a writer's round?
Yeah, I think writer's rounds will come in the future. I think they will. I think for me, yeah, writer's rounds are insane, dude. Like,
have you been to a couple and seen what?
I've been to one. Never been to one. Shout out. He's a friend of mine. His name is John Byron. He's out here. He's a super talented songwriter, man. Kid inspires me. But I went to his writers round with a few other Big Loud writers, I believe. And
you're in a good circle there.
No, they're good people, man. Really good people. And geez, dude, just the talent on the it was arguably, I went to an Opryland performance and that in like relatively the same time frame. And it was like one of the most inspiring things to just see these people who like, I can't even put it into words. It's just so freaking amazing. Like seeing a writer.
Because it feels so authentic too.
Oh, it's insane, dude. Insane. Shout out John, bro. John, you're a go. If you're watching this, you're amazing.
Let's get into your new single. You have one other song that's kind of like a country, but it hasn't been pushed like this.
What's
your vibe on that?
You know,
where does that come from?
Well, so the thing is, so I do a lot of songwriting outside of my artist career, and one of the biggest leading things to bring me to Nashville is I love writing country music, and I always love country music. And so I basically, you know, you're in a session, you're writing it, and then someone will cut the song and then pitch the song. And so as of lately, or I shouldn't say lately, in the past, I would be the one cutting it a lot. A lot of people be like, oh man, like you should be a country artist. And like, me, I'm like, I'm not though. Like, you know, like I couldn't do that. Those guys are so talented. Like there's no way. And so I was like, all right, let me just throw a freaking TikTok out. Cause everybody keeps bugging me about like how you could do this country voice. If you will, I threw it out. And of course, you know, it's like, of course it blows up. And so I was like, all right, let's explore.
Of course. Sorry, guys. I didn't mean to blow up.
I mean to just, you know, hit you with.
Sorry. But it, for me, it was like, okay, let's explore this a little bit. I love country music. I think here's the thing. I'm not leaving pop music. That's staying very, very relevant in my music and is going to continue to prevail. But right now, where I'm at mentally, I'm enjoying making this country pop style of music. And it's, I think it's something that I want to give to the fans, you know, something that I'd love to give them annually, you know, every now and then. It's like, hey, we're doing a country pop project and then we're back onto the road and doing our pop stuff. But I think because I love it so much and I'm so inspired by country music that like I thoroughly enjoy making it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
which I would guess I would somewhat play a part into the reason why you did want to move to Nashville, right? You want to dip your toes into country music. Silverado, when I listen to that, it's like, yeah, this definitely sounds like country, but like what you're saying, it does have that pop. People are describing it as country, people are describing it as pop, but it's almost got like that rock sound to it.
Oh, yeah. That guitar.
Shout out Yeezo, bro. Yeezo, yeah, that bro, kid's insane. Sick, dude. Yeah. Bro, this is this guy Yeezo. He goes by Yeezo's stage name. Dude, this kid. I can't, bro. Like, just, he's a good on the guitar, like, dude, dude's fire, bro. Just
cut me some and I'll use it.
Yeah. No, yeah. If I were to pull up the text with him, it would be like, yo, bro, send me a pack. And it's just like 20 fucking like, and he separates them. So like you could build them yourself. And he's like, oh yeah, here's this if you want to lead. Here's this if you want a rhythm. Dude,
how many
he's
seconds are there?
Yeah, like he'll do a main, he'll do a lead, he'll do like the bass, he'll do like, bro.
Oh, so there's just parts that he sends to you and you build all of them.
Yeah, he's fire, bro.
And I don't know if you see yourself moving like more toward that style of genre.
That, yeah, I know you want to stick to pop, but maybe you just want to kind of, hey, I'm going to sit here and come out with a couple songs that have more country in them or.
Sure.
And then what does that look like for you as just an artist himself?
Yeah, I think like.
And what do you also enjoy doing?
I do. I enjoy doing both of them. I think it's tough because I have such a huge palette of like music I'm into. For example, like, I'm like a diehard Lil Durk fan, but then a diehard Luke Combs fan. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, it's like I will listen to Barbarian by Lil Durk and like love it so much. And then I'll go listen to Going, Going, Gone by Luke Combs in the same day, right after one of another. Yeah.
I don't even want to look at
this. Yeah.
It's I feel just, like that's the question that everybody asks. What kind of music are you into? And you say a little bit of everything. Yeah. They think that's the easy answer, but then if you peel back and you know who I am, like a
and it's hard for me to what I can't
rocking?
Box. Yeah.
What am I rocking today? What I feel then, like rocking.
Yeah,
today.
I guess Vic,
just for a follow up question, like obviously you're in Nashville. Like does being in Nashville, do you kind of think that you wanna kind of be in more country songs here?
No, I mean, bro, yeah. I mean, I think you kind of hit it on the head there. It's like, I think, first of all, there's a huge pop scene in Nashville that I think doesn't get talked about enough. And there's a lot of talented pop artists out here and pop writers. I think that country, I'll always love it. And I think that I'll always dabble in it. And it will be something that I hope that I could give to my fans, like an annual thing. Like, hey, we're doing country for these few months, country pop, and then we're going to go back on and do our thing. But I think the best way to chalk it up, bro, for me is like...
And are you still just learning about it?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's definitely a little bit there. But I think mostly it's growing up, there would be a... And I think we could all relate to this. There's a song that reminds you of something in your life, or there's a moment in time that you play this song, and this song represents this, right? Yeah. So when
we do it every time he comes here, we always play our old slaps that we fucking love.
Exactly, right? Like, so for me, it's like, okay, if I'm feeling this way, what is the best way to portray this? Okay, well, if I'm feeling this way, if I really want to tell a story of nostalgic, you know, or nostalgia or whatever, there's a lot of different ways I could do it. I've listened to a 1975 song and feel that way. I'll listen to an Eric Church song and feel that way. So in my artist mind, I'm like, okay, well, I'm either going to go do this 1975 influence type song, or I'm going to do this Eric Church country influence song, because those are the two songs that represent nostalgia for me, right? Okay, if I'm like, you know, feeling like talking about something that affected me from, you know, the cliche heartbreak thing or whatever, right? Okay, well, you got the Post Malone influence on that. You know, you have the Juice WRLD influence on that. You have the Drake influence. So that's kind of how my mind works. So it's hard for me to box myself into one thing and just like, okay, I'm going to do this type of nostalgia song, this type of yada yada. So the point, you know.
Do you think that's harder though? Because I know we've tried to dabble in both the worlds, because we were doing basketball and now it's like a lifestyle. I don't know how it is in the artist world, but do you think that's harder when you're trying to test new things out? Like, you're just testing it. You're still in that like testing stage, but it's still country pop.
Yeah.
Or yeah. And even more like dialed in. Your fans respond to everything.
And your fans are just going to follow you wherever you go.
So it really...
Yeah, I love my fans. They're great.
I almost want to say, maybe your fans never really heard or know your story in terms of writing country music and stuff like that. Don't know that you had any country influence because you only produced like a pop.
Sure. Well, that's I was like, shout out the fans, bro. Like, they're so good
love
to me.
Your fans, bro.
Dude, I love them, dude. Fans. Like,
I'm a fan, dude, and I'm like, you don't got to thank me, dude.
Well, it means a lot, man, because it's like, you guys are like, what? You guys are why I get to do this. Period. I don't get to go do a show if you don't buy tickets. I don't get to put out a bunch of music all the time and get to do this for a living if you are not streaming my music and you don't like my shit. So it's like, for me, it's like, the fact that you guys take the time, listen to it, whether I'm doing a country pop song, a grunge pop song, or just a pop song or a hip hop influence song, and you guys listen to it and you respond to it, you ride with me.
Yeah.
And you know what? And they're honest. I have a few of my fans be like, yo, bro, love Black Silverado, but like, yo, not my shit, but I'm still streaming. Like that, bro, you just don't get that. Like, that's like the type of fans.
I'll take 3 minutes out of my day just to go streaming on Spotify.
Yeah. Like, I love that, bro. And so, the response has been good. I think the thing is for me is like, I've always been an odd guy, man. I've just always been kind of, I'm just an outside the box guy.
The boys,
I am, dude. I'm an outside the box guy. Everyone's always known me as that. And I think for me, I think what worries me about it is that I've got like the worst imposter syndrome. I second guess everything I do.
What's your sign, dude?
A Cancer.
Are you a Cancer?
Cancer boy.
Yo, you ready for this? To the Zodiac fans watching, they're going to really know something now. I'm really exposing myself. I'm all water signs.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I don't know fully either. I had someone tell me that I'm like, it's as emotional as it gets, like on all levels. So like, I think for me, it's like, I just don't want to like disappoint my fans. I put more pressure on myself to like keep, I'm a people pleaser. But I'm also like who I am and like want to make what I want to make.
Do you think that's normal with all artists though?
Yeah, I think all artists are people pleasers. Yeah.
Say, like, what influences you to respond to like all of your fans in the comments?
Yeah.
Like, who are you talking about when you said, well, that guy like said this? Like, are you reading the comments on every single video?
Hey, bro, if you ever go look at me, I'll respond to some hate comments because I think they're hilarious. I don't get bothered by that. I think I've got really thick skin, and I think that I've been through enough to where hate comments don't really bother me. In fact, I find a lot of them amusing. I think the funniest one I got, dude, this one was hilarious. I did the whole TikTok on what would it sound like if Post Malone and Morgan Wallen did a song together?
Yeah.
And this one guy said, "You're Morgan Walgreens." That was fucking hilarious. I was like, bro, like I can't even be mad at that. Like, that's actually really witty. That's really funny. Thank you for commenting. I'm going to pin it. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, you pinned that bitch, dude.
I mean, for a little bit, and then it got to a point where it's just like, all right, like, we got to, like, let's get the love back. Let's get the love back.
Too many people on
because
this
then one. The V-Wills, like, fan crew came in and like, you don't know anything about V-Wills. I was like, all right, we're not, yeah.
You got an army. I saw you post a TikTok. It was either an Instagram or a TikTok. I can't remember that you posted the other day, which I thought was super fucking cool, by the way.
Yeah.
You had said something about, like, hey, as artists, we feel like we have to push. Especially when you drop a song that just balls out the first week. Now I got a snowball effect that.
You said that I'm going to kind of slow down, appreciate this song, appreciate the work, and appreciate the process that
went into the song.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
I think, like, it's like we don't take enough time as artists. Like, look, sometimes I'm going to keep it a buck with you guys right now. I made Black Silverado in an hour, right? Some artists, it doesn't take him an hour. It takes him a week. Sometimes it takes me a week to make a song, right? That just so happened to be one of the songs I made very fast. So the response to that, typically, and in the past I've done this, is all right, put it out, do a little bit of post-promotion, and then, all right, let's go on to the next. But I thought to myself, I said, you know what? Take the time. Take the time to really let people know that this is something that you're proud of. Because I think what's interesting, And not all artists, but I've noticed this, is that we're always on to the next. And I think it's because we make music all the time. We have all this stuff and our minds are going a bazillion miles per hour. And we're so overstimulated and we want to just go next because we're chasing that high. That next maybe viral moment or that next like, oh, I love this one. You got to put this one out. And, you know, because that feeling of like putting something out for the first time, whether it's a TikTok video, whether it's a song, whatever the hell it is. And you get that response. There's something about that that's addicting. It's like worse than heroin, bro. Like this shit's crazy. So it's like, I think, you know, for me, I said, no, let's slow down. Let's say, wait a second. This is a song I'm proud of that I put out. I came in as a pop artist. I'm still a pop artist. I made a country pop crossover record. And all of a sudden it's in country playlists on Spotify. I'm so hard on myself all the time. I don't take enough time to say, Vic, you just got into it. You're not even like really a country artist. You just got into it. Like, that's so cool, dude. Like credit yourself, man. Like,
and you just moved to a new city, dude. So just like sit back and just enjoy the moment.
You got to, man, because I tell you what, mental health is a real freaking thing out here, man. And if you're not taking time to love yourself, I'm telling you, man, you're going to regret it. You gotta take time.
No. And he's gotta have multiple songs like in the bank. You have like songs that are ready to go, right? Like over a million
like
songs.
We got like over like 1,000 unreleased right now. Bro, we got so much.
But when you sit back and you just kind of let the people hear it and play it, what does that mean in terms of like you as a person taking all that in, but then does that put more pressure on you to say, all right, the next one that I put out for the people, is that even more pressure for you to be like, all right, has to do it.
Yeah.
Or is it just,
and
like,
I think anybody who says different is lying. Right. Yeah,
but 100%. In terms of putting out that next one, how does
it's,
that work?
It's tough. I think because just as much of it as I am an artist, I'm an entrepreneur, and I see it from the business perspective all the time, and it's tough because, a lot of pressure. Because for me,
because that next I one has succeed. To be big.
Yeah, of
too,
course I put that pressure on myself because it's like for me, but if it doesn't hit, I can't stop. It's like, okay, but if I believe at the end of the day, if I believe in the record, right, and I know my fans and I know that they love the record, right, I did my job, at least from what I did as an artist. So if we're looking at two spectrums, businessman, artist, from an artist side, did my job, great, check. Businessman, I failed. Because from a business perspective, I sit there and say, well, I want to maximize as many people as I can. And try to bring in as many people as I can to listen to this song because I believe in this song from this artist side. And as a businessman, I want to push it out because I want you to listen to it. Now, if you don't like it, that's okay. I can't force you to like it. Now that's up to the listener. That's up to the person who sees it. But I failed as a businessman if I didn't at least give myself a shot to like let anybody and everybody that I could see it. You see what I'm saying? So,
one more on that though. A lot of your fans probably are sitting there saying, like you even mentioned, I'll stream it, but it is not my.
Yeah.
So you sitting back and what you would say enjoying it, how does that like kind of balance out? You need to, at least from my perspective, I would think, well, I got to now please that guy that still listens to it, but doesn't like it. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. If I wasn't myself and I wasn't authentic to myself, then I don't think that I would be attracting the audience that me in particular would want to have. Right. I want people to love what I do for the authenticity that I do it. But our, I don't even think that, did that make sense in a sentence? I don't know. We talked about English class failing. Was that good? Okay. Sorry. Sorry.
Trust me.
Are my teachers watching this right now? Because I don't know. Was there a comma in there somewhere? Was there a comma?
No.
But anyway, yeah. So the thing is like, I have to be authentic to me. So despite how maybe a few people might feel about it, I would be hurting myself and my creativity as an artist if I didn't see through what I wanted to see through. So I have to see it through for me. And then, hey, you know, if I can't please everybody, man. Can't.
That's
not everybody's going to love you.
I was going to say that. That's the answer that you would want because
yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, nobody's going to really, they're going to love you or hate you.
Yeah. That's why. I can't please everybody.
We like you because I grew up on country. My mom was a country songwriter just like yourself. And that's my roots, but I also I'm banging Young Thug, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, you
know, yes, sir.
Crossover is good for me.
Five bars for a minute.
Yeah. But hey, yes, we'll see. We'll see. Yes, I'm just saying that it's cool to hear from you to be like, hey, you know what?
So,
yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So I have a question. I think from like an outsider's perspective, you might be at that point where, yeah, you're learning, you're moving, you know, you're in Nashville, blah, blah, blah. We've talked to a lot of TikTokers, influencers, social media people, and they all talk about how it's quantity over quality at first, but now it's like quality over quantity type of thing. What we got?
Quality.
See, yeah, that's fucking hard, dude.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
The next one, trust me, will be just as good.
Yeah, and I think
it's like I can come out with one next week, you know, like let me appreciate this one.
Well, I just think, yeah, I think like, listen, at the end of the day, grandmother on her deathbed, rest in peace. Love you, grandma. She said to me, I said, what's the meaning of life? And she said, quality. When you really think about that, it's like, wait a sec. And it's not about materialistic things, but let's just use that for example. A quality pair of shoes can last you a really long time. A quality car, hopefully, you never know these days, is going to last you a long time, you know? A quality song, hopefully, will age like wine, you know? So, but that's the thing, man. Quality is important. I think for me, though, when you are sitting on a lot of songs like I am, it feels like quantity. I don't think all of them are quality. I think only a few of them are probably, and of course, maybe I'm being hard on myself, but I feel like that only a few of them are quality. I don't know, you know.
Let's talk about you then kind of moving forward. Are you looking like to collab? It's like
collab with Charlie, dude.
Yeah,
dude. Charlie's, shout out Charlie, man. Charlie on Friday is, I love that kid, man. He's a really good guy.
Shout out to earth. We had Charlie on the podcast.
We had Charlie on the pod.
Yeah. Charlie and Friday is a sweetheart, man.
You have any like collab moves next?
Yeah, I mean, we're always talking about, you know, different people to collab with. I think as of now, I've just been really focused on trying to build my brand and the V Wills brand, but definitely something that's, you know, in the works and things we've talked about, you know, doing in the future.
I would love to see you at fucking Tin Roof one night just playing on stage.
Performing or yeah, just like, yeah, yeah. Oh, that'd be lame.
Yeah, well, just to show up.
Yeah,
if you want to hang out at Tin Roof, yeah.
Well, I thought we were going to drink Miller Lights, man. I was like, buy me to Tin Roof. We'll go drink some Miller Lights, man. Sure, yeah.
We'll drink Miller Lights while you're singing.
Hey, Miller Lights and Fireball.
Let's go to Tin Roof, man. I'm fucking, you know.
I love it.
I'm a dunzo. But no, like just performing. Like,
yeah.
We talked about it here just a second ago, though.
In terms of collabs and everything, what's next? What's your next project?
Should we say just like within the city? Because dude, I think you could utilize the fuck out of Nashville.
Well, like, we just partnered with a booking agency, and so we're gonna start doing more shows. Cause I've been not out in the show, but that has been non-existent. I did one out here. And from that point before that, it was like 4 years since I had performed. So like the thing is like we're getting into that, and I think, you know, gonna start doing a lot more shows, which I'm really excited about. So that's definitely coming up. And then, yeah, as far as music, I think like, yeah, we're just right now we're sitting, like I said, on a lot of music. We have projects in the vault as well. But I think for me, I'm very much in a place right now where like I'm somewhat experimental. I just want to see, I'm very interested to see like when I just put out a song and I just put out a song and I just put out a song, I want to see the reaction right now and the response, because it helps me kind of know, okay, if my fan base is, you know, particularly more into this or more into that right now, then maybe I ought to give them more of this and give them more of that because I have it. So I think, you know, well, at the same time, keeping the integrity of being myself, you know, within that. So, yeah, I think right now we're definitely looking to do a project coming up soon, and then more singles, and then hopefully another project. We'll see. But
he didn't give us what we were looking for, did he?
I can't get to. Was that politically correct answer? Yeah. Just
ponder on that question real hard.
Well, you know, I can't like we'll really talk back. About we'll that. Yeah.
We're not the neighbors. We don't get the new hits.
Yeah. We saw what you were talking about.
I'll send you guys some unreleased though.
Fucking first.
Yeah. Right.
Neighbors, they get the sneak peek, huh?
Speaking of that, man.
How do you liking your neighbors? Like, how are they?
Dude, she tells me to turn it down all the time. I put out a TikTok about this. Like,
have you met her at all?
I have.
Nice. Is
like- She's a sweetheart, man. She's super nice. I feel bad. She works from home. I work from home. I've got the bass player in, and she, I want to say she teaches classes or something. She does something on Zoom. Just something where she's like having to talk to people. So it's like, me just blaring. It was crazy. She could hear the lyrics. She'll text me the freaking lyrics. Cause so first to start off, she put a note on my door basically and was like, yo, if you don't turn it down, yada, yada, yada. Like, all right, well, I don't want this to escalate. So let's just, hey, here's my number. Text me if it's ever too loud. So I'm loud a lot. And she hit me and she was like, listen, I could hear the lyrics. And it was funny. She was like, that black Silverado ain't going nowhere if you don't turn it down. I was like, how the hell are you hearing the lyrics?
She said, you know what she told me the other day?
I was walking my dog and I seen her. She's like, you know what? I'm just going to start up a side gig and start releasing your unreleased music. And like, I was like, geez, man. Like, wait, are you serious? Like,
you said offline that you've been doing a little like songwriting. Can you talk about that at all?
Yeah. So I signed a co-publishing deal with APG. A little while back, and ended up partnering also with Turntable as well on the songwriting side. And I do a lot of songwriting behind the scenes, and I've been focusing primarily on country songwriting, pitching and stuff like that. I've done the pop and hip hop and stuff as well, but mostly country. So,
and then I guess I got two questions for you. Is it more pressure for you to songwrite for other people and not for yourself? And then when you're pitching it to someone who might not have that same style, but then you're also like, well, I'm an artist and I think this is good, but maybe that person doesn't like it because he doesn't have that same style of genre as you do.
Good question, dude. Yo, that's like a really good question.
Because that's all I hear. It's like in Nashville.
Oh,
like,
man, dude. Wow. Like,
you could pitch it to Lana Del Rey, bro. You know,
I mean, I think I just naturally put so much pressure on myself because I just want to. I want to win. But I want to succeed.
Almost at that point, are you writing this song? Because you're also an artist. Are you writing that song for yourself?
Bro, another great caveat. Right? Well, it's tough because you get to writing a song and then you're like, I know, it's tough. I think when you're in a session, hey.
And do you even know who you're fucking pitching to at first before you even write in the
song? Sometimes you get in the session, you get to, I mean, not always, but sometimes you, at least for me, you'll get into a session, you start writing a song, and then halfway through, you're like, oh, this is perfect for so-and-so. And then you kind of start to cater. At least I do sometimes, not always. Sometimes it's just like, let's just make music.
Yeah.
You never know. It depends on the vibe of the room, because sometimes you go into a session, start on a song, you're like, oh, this is perfect for so-and-so. You cater to it and then it's perfect. It's a rap. Or you're working on a song, oh, it's catered to so-and-so, but you don't really think about that because you're just making the music. It's a situational thing.
Can you talk about like how that process works? I don't even know. Like, what do you just go into a room and just like randomly pitch it to somebody?
Yeah. So like, let's take, for example, I'm going to take a few people that I really like working with, for example. So we'll take someone like Ava. She's super, super talented, extremely great writer. And we'll take the 720, really, really talented producers. Love working with them, right? So what will happen is I'll show up to the 720 studio. Ava will show up to the 720 studio. We'll get in the room. We'll kind of talk about our days, talk about our personal lives, talk about what we're into creatively, maybe our favorite songs, and, you know, kind of talk shop for a little bit. Jared will always go pour himself a coffee. Shout out, Jared. And then we'll... Always has to go get his coffee.
Are you a big coffee guy?
Love coffee. Can't function without it. And then, yeah, we'll kind of get to work. And then typically what happens, the 720 will end up just like, you know, and again, just using them as an example. They'll start playing like a maybe guitar melody or a piano melody. Ava or I will start thinking of melodies. And so, you know, we're thinking of melodies. And then like, or we already have like ideas ready to go. Like, hey, here's an idea. What if we did this? 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 So just kind of, it's, again, it's situational. It depends, but you get together, your creativity starts going, and you just, and not every time, you don't always get, you know, what you thought you were going to get when you show up. So it just kind of depends. From there, the A&R will either come back with notes or like say, hey, like maybe change this, do this, do that. And then the A&R will then usually send it out. That's kind of like that process, or you're connected and you have somebody within that camp of that person, you get the song to them, or again, best case scenario, you get to show it to the to that person in person, and you know, they either like it or they don't.
You're like, never mind, I'll take that one actually.
Yeah, 100%. So it just depends, man. It just depends. So like, I think, you know, at the end of the day, again, it's just situational. You never know how it's going to go down.
Does it matter when someone else has like Nashville connections? Like, no disrespect to you.
Yeah.
But like just moving to Nashville, I mean, there's got to be something where it's like, hey, I know this person because this person knows that person. But you're probably connected to people already that know those type of people.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's just one of those things where, you know, if you're at it for a long enough time and you do get connected to the right people, that it may or may not help your chances. You never know, though, because Joe Schmo, for example, off the streets could pitch a hit song and somehow gets in the hands of this person, or, you know, who would be the opposite of Joe Schmo? Mojo or whatever? Yeah, Mojo. He's maybe the most connected guy in the world, yeah, and doesn't get a cut. Like, you never know. Look what J. Cole just did with that YouTube producer, yeah, right? It was, yeah, a YouTube producer. And
but that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand. It's,
you never know.
You can cut songs and people know and they hear them and they're, yeah, like, hey, that might not be right for me, but
right,
I can send it up.
But even regardless else, of even, yeah, how it sounds, like, I'm sure anybody pitching this, they're a songwriter, they're like, all right, I gotta sing it or whatever. They're like, I get where you're coming from. I can take this one of the world too, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and sure, it's also based on artist.
You're gonna come out with so much more country music, I feel like. Like,
I think, yeah, I think I'll dab.
I don't even know. Like, it just sounds like kind of like your second job outside of like your,
yeah,
B. Willis, but like, you're pitching like songwriting work to country music artists out here. You're probably saying to yourself, like, I'm seeing the ins and outs of how this works every single day. I'm seeing the writing style every single, yeah, day.
All right, we're back with V. Wills. We're going to loosen it up a little bit and play a couple of games, we would like to say. Not even games, but...
I'm pretty fucking loose over here. I'm not,
yeah, gonna... he's over here losing it. But we're gonna stay with it. And the first one is explain the lyrics. So we got some of these lyrics, yeah, that we like, and we don't know exactly the backstory on these. So we're going to, yeah, kind of pop these up, and you tell it. Us maybe a little backstory on them, and then...
Yeah.
See what you got. So the first one is from your new single, you're breaking on a cowboy's heart. You got me drinking at a downtown bar.
Oh yeah.
What?
Oh yeah.
We'll let you cook.
I think you know the question too. We've asked it already.
We'll, yeah, let you cook. Bro, dude, a cowboy's heart is hard to break. I mean, bro,
it's hard to break.
It's hard to break.
We were talking earlier. I didn't know you were a cowboy coming into the interview. You got that country. I didn't know you.
You are the cowboy, dude. You are, yeah, a cowboy.
Hey, all I gotta say, man, is that it's like, listen, to do that, I feel like, don't sleep on the bar. Don't sleep on that bar. Because the thing is it's like, to break a cowboy's heart, man, that's like, you gotta really fuck him up.
You have, man, a cowboy, so, hat?
I do have a cowboy hat.
You ever rode a horse?
I've rode a horse before.
A real cowboy.
I have rode a horse.
I don't even think we asked it, but do you have a black Silverado?
I do not have a black Silverado.
Why is this song called Black Silverado?
I want a black Silverado. Really fucking bad, bro.
Oh my god, bro.
Manifesting. I don't own a black Silverado, though. I'd be capping if I told you I did.
The downtown bar is which bar?
Yeah, where you going?
Shit, so many, man. Losers. Going to losers.
Because I am a loser.
Yeah.
All right, I got the second one. Honestly, one of my favorite songs right now, yeah, by you. Gosh, I'm falling, man, overboard and I can't swim. Can you save me?
I mean, maybe, you know what's the funny thing, man?
Yeah, he had to take a deep drink for
that. Yeah, I had to take, dude, this is...
That's a hit right there.
Dude, let me ask you this. I'll ask both of you this. I'm gonna ask a question in return of the question because it'll answer the lyric for you, okay? Obviously, you boys have been in relationships before, right? You've been in relationships that started and ended. You're not with the same girl that you were from the very beginning, right? I'm just making sure here. Okay. Yeah. I'm just making sure. Nothing wrong with that.
Or high school. Sweetheart.
Yeah. Right. So my question is that, like, you know, the repercussions of falling for somebody and getting hurt. And the thought of having to deal with that is like, maybe could hold you back from pursuing it, right? Some cases. So if you're falling overboard and let's say she's the water, you have a really hard time swimming in that water because it can lead to any outcome.
Yeah. I almost would say now I'm in the place of, I don't know how much I want to expose it, but I will expose it.
Dude, fuck being it, right? A bitch.
Well, all right, so we had a conversation today in the car and I was like, you know what? I'm to the point now that I'm like, I'm okay of if I don't get married, which I know I will.
Oh, yeah, we had this conversation. I mean, bro, you're already thinking about marriage. You don't have a girlfriend.
But that's the same thing, but it's like...
I'm trying to coach Little League one day, man, so I really want to do the whole fam-bam thing, man. Yeah, I'm trying to be a Little League coach one day, man. I definitely want to do the whole nine yards with that thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Gotta coach them Little League.
Mindset.
We coach together. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but we'll coach together, yeah.
Definitely coach.
Yeah, we got to be.
Can I be a part of the team?
Yeah. Or the rival coach? The rival coach, like yelling at the umpire? Yeah. Can we all do that? And like, we got to have a snack mom. Snack mom's mandatory.
Snack mom?
Yeah, we'll take applications. What are you bringing as snacks? You know?
Yeah, alternate weeks. Hey.
Yeah.
Your snack didn't hit this week, but you know what? You got next week.
What does that mean, though? Because I'm bringing it back to you.
Yeah. It's an insecurity statement. It's like, listen, I'm falling really hard for you, and I don't know how to deal with these emotions. I'm scared of the repercussions of them. Do you have the ability to save me? Which ultimately, to get really deep about that lyric, could potentially be something that's like, yeah, you're putting a lot of weight on that person.
Yeah. What we got? Next one, Liam, you take it?
Yeah. So we chose this one because this is where Nashville bound here now.
Oh,
we
gotta talk about this. Shout out my Belmont friends, man.
But she talks to her best friend, not around here because Belmont. When you wrote this song, you were obviously in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
What was the whole situation with the Belmont
group? What's crazy about this song is it's actually inspired by a bunch of different stories that I put in a narrative into. I had a friend who is in a relationship with a gal who actually is now graduated from Belmont, and he was that guy in high school that she was like never gonna. That's why I say like, you know, that guy from high school. Maybe she'll get with him. Maybe she won't.
Right after that.
Yeah, like so. It's like that was an influence, and then obviously like growing up in Colorado Springs, and I had lived at these apartments that were by the university for a little bit. I went to the community college. I didn't go to the actual university, but. May have told a few people I went to the university, but like whatever.
Some money,
right? Yeah, right. So
talk about it on the last podcast.
Yeah, no, dude, it's cool. Like I used to tell people it was so funny. Actually, funny enough, the community college I went to is now, I think it's now a university. Nice. It's crazy. Or not a uni, or it's a 4-year. It's a 4-year. I don't know if it's like actually like a university.
But people's graduating. Yeah, we gotta make this.
Listen, I used to tell people I'd be at these parties and be like, I go to this Pikes Peak Community College. I'd be like, I go to Pikes Peak University. They'd be like, oh, what the fuck is that? Yeah. I'd
be like, there you go.
Private university.
There you go.
Yeah. Sure. You know what's really cool? When I performed that song out here in my live show, it was so cool to hear the fans sing it back. That was the one song. There's a couple other that they were kind of, you know, knew some of the words, but that was the one where I could hold the mic out and they would finish the lyric for me. That was really, really neat. Dude, the song, I think, man, just being around that scene, and it was like, well, there were some wild freaking times. And like we would go up to Boulder, and as those of you who know, Boulder's wild, bro, right? But it's like, yo, let's put UCCS on the map. I'm not saying, listen, all I'm saying is this. I went to a few events at UCCS. It doesn't have the history like Boulder that I know of, at least as far as being that party school. So I can't speak on that. But what I will say is that like the fact that I experienced that same thing and then I experienced in Boulder, I'm like, yo, why are we not talking about UCCS being kind of lit?
All right, so the fourth one is, I've been fucking up my sleep schedule and I lost track of time. I broke my bezel.
What kind of watch was it?
It was more like metaphorical because it was like, listen, if you mess up your sleep schedule, that could obviously affect you mentally, right? And losing track of time when you mess up your sleep schedule, which is real, you know, like, what, does your watch not work? So that was kind of the metaphor for it, is it's like, if you can't keep track of time, which mentally I wasn't able to in this time period in my life, then, you know, what do you go to when you can't keep track of time? Well, you go to a watch. Well, even going to my watch, it didn't feel like mentally I was still keeping track of time. So was my bezel broken metaphorically? You know what I mean?
That's some deep stuff that goes beyond what people hear.
Oh, yeah. Especially, I mean, look, even with you guys with the pod and like musicians, like, bro, we freaking push ourselves to the goddamn limit. We don't, it's like, why is it that, hey, what, so this is what doesn't make sense to me. You can't justify doing certain things till 2 a.m, but this, Just, I don't care how fucking tired what you are. Time you will. Do you go? Dude, it's all over the place. I'm messing up my sleep schedule. Like, I mean, it's like, yeah.
Funny because like I've been taking a bunch of magnesium and all my coworkers are like, you're not supposed to take that in the morning. You're only supposed to take that at night. Like I've been waking up at 7:30 in the morning, popping those around 8 o'clock and just feeling exhausted.
Shit. I've been taking those in the morning too.
Have you, bro? Have you, bro?
Whoa, like this is like a moment real quick. Hold on. Can we just like, hold up.
Yes, bro. You're
not supposed to what? Take
that, bro. Like in the morning.
I'm supposed to take that at night?
Yes, bro. Yeah, so
bro, I've been doing it because like
I knew I wasn't the only one fucking doing that, right? Like, yeah,
bro, that makes so much sense.
Are you taking vitamins in the morning?
Oh yeah.
What are you taking?
A little bit of fish oil, baby. I don't know who it was. Someone turned me on to it. Someone just said, "Yo, start taking like magnesium."
Yeah.
Like it was a homie of mine said it changed his life. Blah blah blah. Like fuck it. Like I already do the fish oil in the morning. Like I'll just add it to the regimen. Like whatever. I didn't know you're supposed to take it at night. Should I take the fish oil at night?
No, I think it's like a fish oil.
Yeah.
But wait, but in the morning, you said day. Is it morning or is it day? Man,
well, just the magnesium, that's supposed to be part of your night routine. That's why you can't fall asleep. You just took a nap.
Because I've been on the magnesium, bro, ever since 8:30 in the morning.
But he took a nap at 4:30 at night. Oh, and Jesus, was like, what are we talking about?
I mean, bro, you don't take naps, bro?
No. You can take a nap.
I can't do naps. I'm one of those guys, when I wake up, I'm up.
Yeah. All right, last but not least, we got the forgive me. Like, what is my God for? I'm going to be top four. This is from Oh My God. You just released it a couple months ago. Go ahead and break down this lyric for us.
Well, it's like, I think, I mean, the song overall is like, just kind of like, it's a mix between just being overwhelmed with the success that's happening, the success to come, and being not only thankful, but also like kind of intimidated by it a little bit. And so... And this particular verse, I was like, you know, like, look, I got to break off this. I got to do this. I got to break up with this person. I got to, you know, cut this person off, so on and so forth. So like, forgive me. Like, what is my God for? In other words, it's kind of like one of those, like, you know, you're forgiven, you know, in terms of, you know, Christianity. And so for me, you know, I am a Christian. I do believe in God. And my thing is like, you know, forgive me. Like, what he's for, you know, like you gotta
on the second note of that, I have a question in terms of like, but now now he's moving, right? Move to a new city. How many connections or people that have you had to, like, I don't know, step back and let people, like, you know, you cut, not I hate this word, and that's why I don't know how to say it, but have you cut people off in terms of moving from Colorado to here?
And, oh yeah,
like, you cutting people
off? I've had to.
Got to
protect your energy, man. I think everything happens for a reason, and that, you know, if people are supposed to be there, then they'll be there, and if they're not, then that's just the way that it is, you know.
That's a decision you make for yourself.
Let's get into some more positive shit, dude. Explain that, Graham, as a new segment that we're trying out here.
Yes, sir.
We'll pop this up on the YouTube if you're watching on YouTube, but explain that, Graham. We don't know who this guy is. He's rocking a Swanee sweatshirt, but we're pretty familiar with Swanee.
Okay. All right.
What is this, and what are you doing? You have a High Life in your hand.
Hey, man.
Big Miller Lite.
We got Miller
Lite. Hey, same brand, baby. Miller, shout out you, man. That's my homie Chesley. Good friend of mine, man. And he and I were, it's funny enough, our boy Steve snapped that picture. We were getting ready to go to the pool. That's why I got the towel.
Yeah.
So we were getting ready to go to the pool. We're going for a night swim.
What is that in your hand?
Miller High Life.
No, the other hand.
Oh, fucking. That was a camera. It was like an old school Kodak camera. And I had it in my hand because I was going to give it to my boy Steve, who was taking the picture at the time. And yeah, man, just we were like, I don't know. He was like joking about something. I forget exactly what we were talking about, but it was like a funny vibe. I love that Steve captured that. So yeah, on the way to the pool, night swim.
All right, so this has got to be pretty big for you. Take us through this photo right here and maybe who the guys are next to you.
Man, so this is when I signed my co-pub deal with APG. That's Tyler in the black shirt with the blonde hair. That's my manager. That's my A&R, Matt. Shout out, Matt. I love Matt very much. He's the homie. And then that is Mike Karen, the CEO of the company of APG. And... yeah, that was a special day, man. That was a really special day, and shout out to all those guys, man. I got a lot of love and admiration for them.
What shirt is that also?
Oh, that's shout out Troubled Humans. It's a clothing brand that my manager and a couple of other of his homies have. And it is, it spreads like awareness on like all kinds of like different like mental health problems. And it's called Troubled Humans. So like, I love that clothing brand, but yeah, that's one of their shirts they did. It was like a limited time only. They did it, Lyrical Lemonade collab, for the Summer Smash that Cole Bennett put on for Lyrical Lemonade. So yeah, super fire shirt.
Lyrical Lemonade.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It was a good time.
We got a last one here. And this, I wanted to talk about this, but this is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Because you have so many people just holding up their phones. Your swag is so sick, and it looks like you're playing acoustic guitar. Where is this at? Take us through this moment.
This was at the Inn in Nashville.
That's what I thought it was.
Uh-huh.
It is sick.
Super fun vibe. Again, I have to throw another shout out there, man. Munn brought me on, and Delaney. Munn's a local artist. Delaney's a local artist. They're really, really talented. Last minute, they're like, hey, do you want to come perform at this show with us? And yeah, let's do it. And they kind of threw me in and we did it. And yeah, that was really cool. It was a big learning experience, I think, for me too, because there's a lot I learned within that performance. But that was cool, man. This was after freshman year. I performed freshman year and then I performed an unreleased acoustic song.
What song is that you're performing?
It was an unreleased acoustic song called I Won't. It's crazy when you perform. I mean, I don't know if this is for everybody, but for me, you kind of like, I just get into the zone, man.
Yeah, and black out, don't you?
Kind of, because you're just so like, I don't know. I can't even put it into words. I think the thing is like, man, just even looking at that picture, man, you guys like get tripped down memory lane, cool. Man. It's cool, man. I don't take enough time to, again, we talked about this at the beginning of the segment, you know, taking enough time to appreciate.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy about, I learned a big lesson. I was throwing back Fireball, James, whatever, Miller Lights, you know. Before I got on stage, and you're running off adrenaline the whole time, right? So like, you don't feel like you're that fucked up because the adrenaline's kicking in. So you feel sober, right? Bro, when I got off the stage, I was like, oh, fucked up. I'm like, yo, how am I this drunk? Like, yo, somebody put something in my shot. Like, I'm like, yo, what the hell?
Well, Vic, I mean, dude, appreciate you coming on, bro.
Yeah,
being dude. Our first in-person guest. I mean, we've done it for a while now, and you've always been a homie for us, and we're fans of you. Oh, like, you have great music, Black Silver slapping, dude. Like,
thank
the
you.
Numbers that you're hitting right now. I guess we got to drop the question now. Then the question is, man to man, what is the key to success?
That's a loaded one. Yeah, man, I think for me, You have to, whatever it is that you want to pursue, you have to see it with this tunnel vision, and you have to be willing to do what it takes to get to that point. And it's going to break your heart potentially and make you have to make really tough decisions. There's a lot of sacrifice involved. I guess in terms of if you're wanting to pursue music, there's a lot of things that you're going to have to do. You know, I think the best advice to answer that too is that my grandfather, he left me with a really good piece of advice before he passed. He said, sometimes you do things you don't want to do for the ones you love. But I'll flip that and say, sometimes you're going to have to do things you don't want to do for the thing you love. And I'm not saying you need to compromise your morals or your values or anything like that. I'm not saying you got to go to that length. But not everything is butterflies and rainbows to get to that spot. And I think too, you have to find what is the definition of success to you. Is the definition of success to you like, hey, I'm making a living doing this. I can buy a home. I could support a family, but I can't do Mexico every month. Or is it, I want to do Mexico every month. You know, like, you have to find that definition. And then once you find that definition, like, you just have to go. And I think for me, what's gotten me here and what I feel like is going to continue to get me to go further is that I see it. I cannot let things that aren't going to correlate with getting there get in the way of that. And you have to be extremely stern on that. Trust your heart and believe in yourself and pray about it. Yeah. Manifest it.
I appreciate you coming on, and it's been a heck of an episode for especially.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Us being our first in-person interview. Sir. So as I would like to do it, as we like to end, Those yep. here. I'm gonna give a namaste to you guys.
V-Wills,
yes, sir.
V-Wills.
Thank you.
V-Wills, Black Silverado. Go check it out.
Go stream it. Go stream it.
Go fucking stream that shit.
Appreciate y'all.
Thank you for coming on, man.
And how many miles is it gonna take to get away from you? You're breaking on the cowboy's heart. You got me drinking at a downtown bar. I'm overthinking, getting too damn drunk. And that's what I get for falling too in love. Remember that back road, baby. Remember them stars in the sky. Remember that tailgate we were sitting on when you